Languages through music. Languages through music. Languages through music. Languages through music.
So, welcome everybody to the Languages through Music podcast. It's a very special project with Beaux-Arts Afropolitan Forum for Swahili through music, and very honored to have incredible rapper, artist from Tanzania, Fid Q, joining us today. Karibu.
Asante, asante sana, language music.
Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a, you know, it was a tough one, but you know, I had to. Sometimes a man gotta do what he got.
Thank you so much. So yeah, just have some questions for you. I'm really interested in how music links languages and links to memory. So could you tell us what your earliest music memory is?
Wow.
Is it a song? Is it a music video? Is it a...
Yeah, I'm about to get there. You know, I'm old school. So when Wu-Tang came out with the song titled Triumph, Inspector Deck said it like a bomb atomically. Socrates, philosophies. I was like, Socrates, who is Socrates? And you know, like I said, I'm old school. I had to go dig deep into, you know, the so-called encyclopedias. Mm-hmm. There were no Google back then.
Yeah.
So in that process, I came across so many names, mm-hmm. from Socrates to Albert Einstein to, you know, to the modern Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But that's how we started. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, started with these two bars from Inspector Deck, like a bomb atomically, Socrates philosophies. I was like, what kind of philosophies are those? I had to go and double check. You understand what I mean? So, so when Lauryn came up with a statement that says music is supposed to inspire, I truly co-signed with that statement because I was inspired with, you know, people via their lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? And that's how music used to be to me, and that's what the type of music that I would love to hear and see everywhere.
Absolutely.
Just my opinion, personal. Yeah.
I share it. I was interested on your YouTube channel, there's the tagline 100% edutainment. And it's rare that I see that word edutainment, but that's one of my favorite kind of combinations of words, because I think that's what all education should be. So what first inspired this edutainment movement? Is it linked to, from my small research, I read up on bongo flavor, bongo meaning brain, and it being a kind of socially conscious movement. So what was your inspiration behind 100% edutainment?
100% edutainment, because I'm more of an edutainment type of musician than just entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to educate my people before entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm more into, you know, community-based stuff. And my music is about uplifting, especially the have-nots and the ghetto people. And I'm saying the ghetto people, I'm talking about the ones who actually ditched schools,
mm-hmm.
at the very, you know, early ages and stuff like that. So that's what my music is all about. It's about educating people. And I remember this one day I was at the University of Dar es Salaam, UDSM, and I met this one professor. He's actually one of my favorite professors out there. His name is Issa Shivji. He told me, like, Fidi, you know what? I'm a professor, you're not. But how the hell you are able to put stuffs in 16 bars, stuffs that I would take me the whole, you understand what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, like 100 pages to explain to my students, like,
yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with your professor. You can put so much information in 16 bars.
Mm. Yeah, so it all started with the idea of reading for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when when you're trying to dig up or something, when you're trying to educate people, or maybe all you do is just, you know, trying to put them to school.
Yeah.
You have to research. And sometimes, you know, you might become your own mad scientist, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you do your own research just for your own self and everything. So in digging those stuffs, that's how maybe I, you know, got to the ability of, you know, pulling stuffs that will take him like 100 pages.
Yeah. So you speak Swahili and English. Did you speak both from a young age, or did you learn English later?
Actually, my English used to be good back then, and it all got mixed up.
Your English is perfect. What are you talking about?
It used to be good back then, but you know, it got mixed up with Swahili. Busy writing my lyrics in Swahili for the majority to understand what exactly I'm talking about, and that's how we ended.
Who are your favorite, or who are your most inspiring artists in Swahili speaking rappers that first inspired you?
I was inspired by Kwanza Unit, the first hip hop group from Tanzania. It's called Kwanza Unit. Kwanza is the first.
Yeah. Okay.
So Kwanza Unit. You see how deep they are?
Calling
themselves is the first hip hop group.
Yeah.
From Kwanza Unit to Hard Blasters to Hard Blasters is the one which came out with Professor J. I hope you know the name. He's actually one of the heavyweight MC out here.
Mm-hmm.
And to Mr. Tu Sugu, to Diplomat, and the list goes on and on. But what I like mostly about Kwanza Unit is they were like versatile. Like, they were really good in, you know, they could speak in Swahili and in English. You know, they were bilinguals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that truly got me inspired, especially I looked at them as my huge inspiration because I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and seeing people like, you know, speaking both languages, to me, that was something. I was like, you know what? I got to learn something here. Maybe also to use both languages. Yes.
Yeah, I love the mix too, how sometimes you'll be listening and half a line's in Swahili, half a line's in English, and there's just this ease of communication. Do you feel that one language is better for a certain thing than another? Are there things that you feel you can express in Swahili that is harder to do in English, or certain vibes that are harder to explain?
I think it has everything to do with the vibe, plus, because, you know, I don't decide, like, in this song, I'm going to put a little half English, half Swahili. Nope.
Mm.
It just happened to be, okay. You know, and I'm an artist. As far as creativity is concerned, I go where my thoughts takes me. You understand what I mean? So
sure.
If, you know, this is my approach to this beat, I feel like maybe instead of just, you know, doing it in Swahili, I should open, like, maybe a couple of bars in English. I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no limit when it comes to my creativity. You know, I follow my heart.
Yes.
Not even my friend. And that's a big
yes,
because I believe that, you know, it's supposed to come from your heart.
Absolutely.
You understand what I mean? That's how you get to connect with people.
Sure.
What you know about, you know, when somebody says like, oh, he actually poured his heart out on that song.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Connection, giving, honesty, vulnerability, communication, strength.
There you are. Yeah. So I keep telling people that I use my heart, not my brain.
Mm-hmm.
My heart tells me, like, I should do this in English, I do it.
Yeah.
Swahili, that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's that.
Do you have any favorite words or phrases in Swahili?
I think my favorite words are just universal, you know, like asante sana, karibu sana.
Yeah.
Nakupenda. They're just, they all both sounds humble and very welcoming to people,
mm-hmm.
and calm and positive. Asante sana, you know, like, this is me thanking you for being, you know, kind. Nakupenda sana is, you know, I love you, and karibu sana, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? So they're universal, and they're actually still my favorite Swahili words as well.
Yeah. What I really love with this Language to Music project is no matter which country the song is from, which language, everyone around the planet, we're singing about the same things, writing about the same things. And that's a really nice way that music connects everybody,
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
So I guess Tanzania has been a bit more open in terms of the lockdown, from what I understand. And you've traveled plenty to around Africa with your music and outside Africa with your music. So do you feel that you have, as a musician, a facility to pick up other languages?
Oh, in 2008, I went on tour, German. I had this German tour with Prince P. Prince P is actually one of the biggest hip hop artists from Berlin, based in Berlin. He was working under this record label named Ich Lieb, something like that. He's now running his own called Ken Lieb. I asked, like, what's this Ken Lieb mean? He said, like, no love or something like that.
Mm.
You know? I don't know, these two had beef, and it could be the reason why they both departed. But what I'm trying to say is, on that tour, I did know German at all. But within a week, I could, you know, hear words.
Just from hearing.
I'm like, hey, what you say exactly is my thought, whatever. So like, oh, so can you hear German? I was like, yeah, I can hear it. So I started hearing it. It was like a month and a half tour.
Okay.
You understand what I mean? But within the 6 week, I started, you know, speaking a little of it. You know? I even ended up with this German phrase, which says, when uns Gott gehört, der Friendship hof.
Like, what does that mean?
Like, whereas there is money, friendship lost.
I think that could be universally translated.
I don't know. Hey, please do not double check that. Maybe I lied.
I don't know. You speak more German than I do, that's for sure.
No, I tried, but that's the least I could remember, you know? When ums Gott gehört, der Friendship hof. Something like that.
Your accent sounds 100% convincing to me. I've never studied it. I've never studied it, but I've heard. I mean, Belgium has three official languages, and that's the third one. Are there, if you were to learn any other African languages, which one would you want to start with?
That question sounds like, where is my huge inspiration when it comes to Africa? And I would say Mali.
Mali?
I love Mali and Senegal. Mm. I enjoy each and every music that comes out of Mali and Senegal as well.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Sef Keitas. I'm talking about the Doua Diallo or something. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, that music is something else. Mm-hmm. Something else. You know, it's only like 2 months ago, I just sampled one. I'm about to clear the sample though before releasing the joint. I'm loving every bit of it.
Is it in Wolof? Or Bambara?
Not really. Like I said, I love each and every music that comes from Mali and Senegal. The traditional music. To me, I don't know, the reason that's with me, like, every time I listen to anything from, you know, South America, there is something, there is a connection in me between those two type of music.
Yeah. So,
two corners of the world.
Are there other styles of music or other styles of hip hop that you're really drawn to, that even though you don't speak that language?
Actually, what I'm trying to do here, I've done a small research on why Afrobeat is huge now.
Okay.
And I came to realize it's because of the ID in sound, identity in sound. You know, like when you listen to the Afrobeat, your first thought will be like, this is music from Nigeria or Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
But when you listen to African hip hop, what do you hear? Same beats like the Dr. Dre's one, Timbaland's one, DJ Premier's ones. There is no identity in our hip hop sound.
It's more in the vocal, you mean, rather than the production?
It's more of a production than the vocals. The vocals are so African, but the production, the instruments used.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? So to me, it makes me feel like, you know, we just bunches of wannabes. because you know, we keep producing stuff that sounds like Americans, sounds like, you know, Europeans and stuff. There is no difference when you listen to that. You understand what I mean? So my new approach to this is to see how I'll be able to do a little fusion of this African music into the so-called boom bap and get that African sound and maybe brand it as Bongo hip hop or maybe Afro rap, Afro hip hop or something for it to be, you know, well received to the world.
So really to start that that African identity from the production basis rather than just
from
the vocals.
Production basis, well put, well put. Because I remember I was in Belgium.
Okay.
Brussels, to be specific, in one of these restaurants in downtown, and they played something from my favorite musician, whose name is Lokua Kanza.
Oh, amazing!
Yo, I feel like I'm in Africa already.
It's amazing.
You understand what I mean? So, I mean, I would so much love to give people such a vibe, whatever they are in the world. It don't matter if you're in China or you're in Japan or you're in Vietnam or something. You listen to my sound, it makes me feel like you're in Africa already. Mm-hmm. That is so powerful. And mind you, it wasn't even at Matonge. Nope, it was somewhere downtown Brussels.
Yeah. And it's so funny you bring him up because yesterday I was on the phone with a guitarist friend in London who must be in his late 50s, early 60s. And he's from Dominica. Yeah. And he brought up out of nowhere Lokua Kwanza. Just
Lokua Kwanza. Lokua Kwanza is I don't know, but what I'm trying to say is he
magical.
It is magical. Thank you so much. Thank you. It is.
Yeah, it's funny. In less than 24 hours, two different wonderful artists bring up Lokua Kanza as inspiration, and also he mixes languages so beautifully, I find.
Yes, and you know he's good with it. He's nice with it. He can actually mix Swahili, French, and English as well.
Yeah.
And Lingala.
Yeah, Lingala. Lingala is a beautiful language too.
And he sounds natural on everything.
Yeah.
You know. We Swahili speakers, we like how we sing in Swahili. I don't know about the French, I don't know about, you know, the English people, but we're good. You understand what I mean? So,
and so many artists I've interviewed, they always big up Tanzanian Swahili. Just whether they're Congolese or whether they're Kenyan, they just, everyone bigs up Tanzanian Swahili.
Yeah, because this is where you find the original one, despite of all the obstacles and the stereotypes. Like, yeah, you study in Mombasa, but the truth is Swahili is born here. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
This is the home of Swahili.
I have to come back, stay for longer, and study it there.
And this is the Swahili kid you're talking to now.
Exactly. This is why I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. And it was tough to choose a song, just one song to include in the playlist we're working on for the podcast. But we included Tajiri Yangu. And I was wondering, if you could tell us maybe a little bit about your inspiration behind that song.
Tajiri Yangu is it's like a ghetto gospel. And Tajiri Yangu means my Lord. I was just trying to remind people, like, about, you know, his supreme being and stuff like that, to not just, you know, to just believe in him and him only. You understand that? That's a song all about. And I actually featured one of the biggest gospel artists, Paul Clement, who has been doing so well in Tanzania and East Africa in general. So I'm glad that, you know, it is well received out here. Played all over, but you know, it was something rare. Even with the approach, I phoned Paul, like, "Hey, Paul, it's from Q here." I was like, "Hey, Fidi, how you doing? I'm a big fan. What is it that you want from me?" I was like, "You know what? I want to do a gospel song with you. Gospel, you." a gangster rapper trying to do God? I was like, yeah, that's what Jesus was brought to the world for. Okay. Jesus was brought to the world because of us, the sinner human beings, not you. So he laughed at that joke. He laughed at the joke, and you know, next thing is, you know, we meet up at the studio, and the rest is history. Just that.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
He loved the idea of, you know, a reminder that Jesus was brought to the world for us, the sinner human beings, not you. You know, so how about us now trying, you know, to show some positivity as well?
Absolutely. So like,
I'm gonna come to the studio and record with you. So that's how it works.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure, you know, anybody trying to learn Swahili through music is gonna just be amazed that you took the time to come through and chat language and music with us here. So really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your invitation. I really, really appreciate it. Highly appreciate it.
Asante, and hope to see you live in concert in Tanzania very soon. Please.
You coming after Rona?
I'm dreaming. This is my daydream, my daily daydream.
Oh. All right, then. It's easy. You can make it to a reality.
Going to have to. As soon as Rona lets us, I'm back to Dar es Salaam for sure, for sure.
Some people entertain ideas, others put them to work. So
I'm going to put them to work.
The choice is all yours. Are you just going to stick to being an entertainer?
No, I'm going to make it happen.
Or a go-getter.
A go-getter, for sure. With or without Rona.
Yeah. After. Before or after, yeah. Before or after Rona.
Exactly. Rona can't slow us down. It'll try, but...
Yeah.
Especially can't slow Tanzania down. Everyone I've spoken to in Tanzania, they're like, you know, we're pushing through. Okay, that's great. So thank you so much. And
we'll
be discovering even more of your music throughout the project.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, PQ.
Karibu.
Languages to music.